McDonald's Mikey Rail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Rail Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Benton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the worldwide web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. I feel rushed, Coach. You ever feel rushed?
Yeah, all the time during basketball season.
I've noticed. Has absolutely no effect on your personality.
Yes, yeah.
Alongside the head coach of the Benton County Vikings, Matt Coles, I'm Carl Knox. Welcome to another episode of the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm loving this warm, warm weather. Could do without the rain as we tape this broadcast extravaganza on Monday, January the 23rd. Been an interesting week.
Yes. Yep. Kind of had a rough weekend this weekend.
Yeah. Talked to you Saturday. Meanie butt.
Yes. Yes.
Just when you think everything's going well, life just hits you right in the nose.
Yeah. It happens.
It happens. It does. Tough loss Saturday night, January the 20th. A 2-point loss, final score 73-71 as the Spartans upend the Vikings in a dandy of a ball game. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Do have an interesting guest, kind of going to keep things in-house this week. Sometimes we don't give enough credit to the scads of people that make Coach Coles look so good and make Coach Bentley look so good on the girls' side. Having in the not only a former player of yours, but now a college graduate. I think Taylor Reed, he is an accountant now? I think
he's... Not sure what Taylor does. He, but he's obviously a successful young man. I mean, we always knew he would be a great kid. And he's coaching 7th grade girls basketball here. And we're going to talk a little bit about junior high basketball, boys and girls today, and give some updates on them. So,
yeah, interesting. And ironically, with Taylor now working in the coaching ranks, and I know he got his degree over at OU. He's married now, living in MacArthur, him and his wife, Jennifer Cecil Reed, doing very well. And we got him on the girls' side. And then I'm sure a lot of our listeners remember a name, young man by the name of Dustin Guthrie.
Yeah.
Who is not going to be able to be with us, but Dutt and his dad have been working the junior high boys ranks for, I know Frank has been coaching for many years. I think Dustin's probably in year 3 or 4.
Yeah, Dustin's been doing it now a handful of years with his dad. And, the junior high boys program, we won't have them on, unfortunately, because we just weren't able to get him. He had meetings today and some things he couldn't be with us, but talk a little bit about the junior high boys programs and just sort of kind of give you an idea of give the listeners an idea of the records that right now and where they're going to be at tournament time and all that. So,
well, before we get to that, I know a lot of our listeners, probably all of our listeners, are wanting to hear your take on Friday night and talking with you Saturday. A lot of feelings on a lot of different levels, but you got to give our kids, well, first of all, give Alexander credit.
Right.
They played a hell of a game.
Yeah, they did.
Shot
they
the ball very well, crashed the boards. I thought, that's something everyone's talking about, their field goal percentage. But as far as rebounding, they gave a very good effort. I think they did outboard you. I'll look at the stats here shortly. But, give them credit. They beat us. Give your kids some credit for fighting back when you came out and kind of laid an egg in the first quarter, came back in the second quarter. The third quarter was kind of I don't say the nail in the coffin, but they definitely outscored you in the third quarter. And just talk about the night.
Well, we came out and just were uncharacteristic for us in the first quarter, I thought. I don't know, what the problem is other than, you're dealing with high school kids and there's going to be nights, unfortunately, where they do this. And we haven't had any games this year prior to Friday where we've come out just sort of flat. And, I don't have the exact statistics, but in that first quarter, we turned the ball over two or three times at least on just silliness. Some really bad passes.
Unforced turnovers.
Step out of bounds. We tried to save the ball a couple different times underneath our own rim. And, you know, just some things that we typically just don't do. And you mix that in with we had a couple missed layups and just some defensive breakdowns. It just seemed like it was a perfect storm for most of the night. But second quarter, you know, we started getting it going a little bit offensively. We got out and ran a little bit, but even then, I was disappointed at halftime because we had a couple bad turnovers in the second quarter that prevented us really from being up 12 to 14 points probably right. Going into halftime instead of 8. And that's big. You know, we talk about momentum going into the break, and even though we did score right at the buzzer of the second quarter, just didn't have the same feel of momentum as I thought it could have. And but at the same time, you know, you have an 8-point lead, you've righted the ship, so to speak, after that bad first quarter. And then third quarter was just a situation where we just consistently couldn't get stops. You know, we came out, we got a couple baskets there somewhat early in the quarter, and then we just couldn't get stops. They were getting the ball inside to Harris. We had some breakdowns in our weak side defense and our help defense. We had some trouble with the Davidson kid who kid's averaging 5 or 6 points a game, comes in, gets 23 points. You know, it's not his normal night, but at the same time, you have to recognize hot hand. And once he hits his first couple shots, you know, right, we got to do a better job of recognizing that. And I just didn't think we ever did that. And it just snowballed. And to be honest with you, it snowballed to the point where it looked like we weren't even going to have a chance to compete and win at the end. You know, we got down, I think, 10 points, middle of fourth.
Right.
And that's when, you have to give our kids a lot of credit. I thought we were able to call some turnovers, get back in the thing, and actually had a chance to win it in the last 20 seconds. We were only able to tie it. And we had our opportunities to go ahead, and then they came down, and we tried to – early on, we tried to pressure a little bit in that last possession, but then you get to a certain point – 15, 16 seconds left, you pretty much just have to play it out because you don't want to foul and put a team on the line.
And both teams were in the bonus, right?
So you don't want to let them win it at the free throw line on a foul 30 feet from the basket. So you end up having to just play. And then we didn't do a great job of sort of switching off on that kid as he drove, he shot, you know, he got a shot off and it went in. So that's just the way it goes. But obviously very disappointed in the way we played. You do have to give Alexander credit. I did give Alexander credit in the paper and will continue to do so. They played a great game, coached a good game. But obviously we played, quite frankly, our worst game of the year, and unfortunately we picked a bad night to do that on. So hopefully we can rebound from it.
One thing about, you know, how many years has it been since we won over at Alexander?
They beat us the last couple years there, and you know, they've had some really good teams the last couple years. I mean, last year they beat us in a close game over there. I think they won. Mm-hmm. Their team won 15, 16, 17 basketball games last year, whatever it was. They had a good team. This one probably stings a little bit because I feel like, you know, no offense to them, I feel like we're probably the better team on paper at least, and they're a little younger. But it wasn't to be the other night. They were the better team. They played better than us. They made shots. They did what they had to do and took advantage of our mistakes. And that's what it's all about. That's how you pull an upset. And, they did that. I don't make any bones about it. I mean, we got beat straight up, fair and square. They got the job done, and we didn't.
Also, I mean, it was very, very obviously when you're undefeated, state ranked, all that, you know, and Vinton County travels, even when you have a down year, huge crowd from Vinton County.
Right.
Alexander, you know, home court, obviously Section 8, their student section. In addition to the game, and I'm not going to go into this too far, fanatical fans, you know,
right,
supporting their school, things got a little little crazy there in the fourth quarter with some unfortunate events. But, you know, it's something that as a coach, I guess, you know, I kind of feel for you. You're there to do a job, and that's coaching your team.
Right.
And when all these extracurricular things get out of hand, it puts pressure on you, your staff, and like you made the comment early in the segment, you're dealing with 16, 17, 18-year-old boys. Boys.
Right.
Not, you know, how is a coach, I mean, have you learned anything over the years about when you get into these environments, these situations, is it just, does experience help, or how do you try to deal with it yourself, or have your assistant coaches deal with it?
Well, it helps me personally because I've just seen about all of it over the years. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've seen a lot of different things, but you're still dealing with teenage boys. So the fear is, you know, when there's a lack of crowd control, okay, the fear is of something really ugly breaking out.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, when, excuse me, when students are allowed to rush the floor during and after the game, you worry that, you know, your kids, you don't want somebody to get bumped, somebody throw a punch, somebody, and now you got a real ugly situation. And, you know, again, it's, I'm not going to get into how I feel about everything the other night, because I just don't think publicly that's the way to handle it. I was asked in the newspaper after the game the other night, and I took the high road and said, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. I just think I was very proud of our kids the other night for how we handled a tough situation. You know, you know, it's just, it's a difficult situation when you don't have, you know, ample seating on the bench. You got kids sitting in aisleways. You know, it's a tough situation when, like you say, the crowd is able to get involved into the game, whether it be standing on the baseline or coming onto the floor. And I just thought our kids handled it really well. How fans handle it, that's, you know, again, as a coach, I'm trying to just handle our kids.
Right.
You know, it's the home team's job to have crowd control. And I know when, and that's, as an AD, that's a fear here. You know, when anytime we have a game here, that's one of our things, is how can we make sure we have crowd control? And,
right.
And, you know, it's never, there's no guarantees, because no school can afford 10 deputy sheriffs and all that, you know, usually have one or two.
Right.
And, but, you know, that's why we try to do things the way we do here, in terms of putting our students behind our bench and where they're contained a little bit, because we have great fans. Obviously we have passionate fans. Like you say, we travel well. I wouldn't trade our fans for anybody. And, you know, I think there's a lot of situations that led to all that the other night. And again, I don't want to get into specifics,
sure.
But it was scary for me to think what could have happened. And that's why crowd control is so important. And, you know, that's something that we'll learn from by watching others, and hopefully here make sure we have our ducks in a row, because we get big crowds, obviously, at Vinton County, and
sure,
we want to,
yeah,
make sure that, you know, everything's done right.
Well, one gripe of mine, you asked my wife, the kids sitting in the aisle.
Yeah.
It just annoys me, you know. I look over during this fiasco Friday night. One Matthew Combs, Coach Combs, you're sitting in an aisle. You were sitting on the steps.
Yeah, I mean,
what? How did that happen?
Well, it's just not, there's not enough room there,
okay.
And that's the way it is. I mean, obviously, you know, we've got a few coaches, and we're not all as thin as NJ Kite. So, you know, we got to squeeze in where we squeeze in.
But, you know, we'll get, I'll move along. But one thing I will say for you, and I rarely, if ever, give you a compliment. In the height of all the drama, and again, I mean, the kids rushing the floor after the game, I guess I don't have a problem with,
yeah,
after the game. You know, give those guys, that school was jacked up, and they,
sure,
had every right to be jacked up.
Yep.
And as their team, or as their cheer block, whatever, runs out and congratulates their team, you know, there's tons of people out on the floor. It's a zoo. And I'll give you some props, is that you made it. I mean, because I think your kids were obviously very dejected. They didn't know what to do. And I looked over at you, and you were adamantly like, don't you dare go to the locker room. Everyone line up. We're going to shake hands.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to do when, you know, metaphorically, you just got punched in the face.
And, well, it is. And I think, you know, we tell our kids, we told them Saturday morning, you know, people are going to judge you ultimately by how you act when things don't go your way, you know, because everybody's $1 million when things go their,
sure,
way, you know, and we want to make sure we're teaching our kids life lessons about that. And, a lot of people think that this handshake thing after a game, you can hear, you know, you can read articles about it. A lot of people think that should just go away altogether, you know, because they're afraid of, you know, afraid of fights and things like that. But I think there's some real lessons to be learned from having to walk up and shake your opponent's hand and say, hey, nice job. You beat us fair and square, you know, and that's exactly what we did. And that's what we're always going to do. We're going to try. Lord knows I've made more than my fair share of mistakes in the last 20 years of doing this. But we're going to try to always represent Benton County the right way and do it the right way. So, you know, I was proud of our kids. I told them that. I wasn't proud of the way we played, but I was proud of their attitude and how they handled it, you know. Right. So hopefully we'll grow and learn from it. I told our kids, you know, we felt dejected last year a couple different times after losses. And, you know, a month and a half later, we were cutting down a net at the Convo after winning a district. So there's a lot of basketball to be played. We certainly can't, you know, stew over this very long.
Yeah, and as you and I talked, and after we, I got a phone, I was, you know, obviously it was on preps, and a mutual friend of ours, Norm Pearson, picked up his 700th win this weekend. Which,
right, that's awesome.
It's nuts. I mean, it's great.
But we were joking about the plaque they give him. It said 700th win, and then said versus Northwest. And I said, Northwest got to quit playing these guys. That's what NJ Kite said. He's beat Northwest 700 times.
But as we were, you know, everyone, you know, we're crying in our beer here, you know, losing a game and all that stuff. I remember back to 2009, a team in the SOC2 dropped three straight conference games.
Yeah.
They went on and won the D4 state championship.
Yeah.
That was the Oak Hill Oaks.
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing from Norm. Oh, well, you didn't hear from Norm. You didn't talk to Norm. You stayed away from Norm those three games. But, you know, other mutual friends about, man, they're just, you know, three games. So I guess if you're trying to make lemonade out of lemons, or, you know, put a positive spin on it, sometimes maybe, I don't want to say losing's good, but it's a wake-up call.
Right.
To that point, briefly, I know you guys were in the gym early on Saturday morning. Was it a practice? Was it a team meeting? Was it a film session?
Not really anything physical. We talked a little bit, just sort of went over some things that we thought went wrong and some things we got to do better. Kids were very receptive, kind of listening to what I had to say. You know, we talk about, you know, look, when we win, we always tell our kids, enjoy it for a night. You know, come to practice the next day. I usually spend 10 minutes talking about, here's what went well last night in this win. Well, you can't treat a loss different than that. I mean, we're not going to spend 2 days on a loss if we only spend 10 minutes on a win. So we quickly talked about what went wrong, what we got to do better. And I thought the kids were receptive. We had some kids that were a little banged up. Obviously, it was a physical, tough game. So we didn't really want to go. We didn't feel like it was, you know, to our best interest to go out there and just start, you know, physically busting it out the next day. You know, we'll have a good practice today to get ready for Nelsonville, and then that, and we'll handle it that way. But hopefully, we got some kids with some bumps and bruises, and hopefully we'll be healthy for tomorrow night.
To that point, quickly, what's the status on Derek Jones?
Just, you know, tweaked his knee on that screen. It was a hard screen. I mean, you know, it was
legal.
That's the way they called it. And, I thought everybody thought he had a head injury at first. That's what I thought. Cause he sort of got up with that look on his face, but it was a knee kind of buckled underneath him when that backside screen happened. He didn't see it coming. So, you know, I think he's okay. I was a little sore on Saturday. We'll see. I haven't had a chance to talk to him today, but
okay. Well, we'll preview the game coming up on the 24th tomorrow at Nelsonville, and then another big TBC Ohio match coming up this Friday against the Athens Bulldogs at home. We'll be talking about that, and also spend a few moments talking to our guest this episode, Taylor Reed, a former Viking player under Coach Combs, now the seventh grade girls coach here at Vinton County, as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Rumble podcast, presented by McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Be it before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Alongside Coach Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox. Our guest this episode, we bounce all over the place, don't we, Coach? We're just, we're here, there, and everywhere. Going to keep things in the family, so to speak, this episode. Is happy to welcome in, not the seventh, we got that wrong, the eighth grade girls coach of the Vinton County Lady Vikes, Taylor Reed. He is a recent graduate. What year did you graduate?
What would that have been? 10, Taylor?
Yep, 2010.
That's like back the Andy Grillo, Taylor Reed, Dill Guthrie.
Oh yeah, we had a slew of them. Ethan Allen was in that group,
and
it was a good group. That was a fun group to coach. But you say recent, man, that doesn't feel that recent now. It's feeling like a long time ago.
Well, it feels recent to me.
There you go,
Taylor. Quickly before we get into the basketball, give us a little update. I know you were going to OU, and I think you've graduated. You got married. What's going on with your life right now?
I graduated from Ohio University with an accounting degree, and I'm working in Fairfield County for the Fairfield County Auditor right now, and married, and in the process of fixing up a house in MacArthur. So that's what's going on in my life.
Now, how did it come to pass? Did you approach, I mean, once you got back here, you and Jenny got married.
Yeah.
When did you say, I want to just woke up one day and say, Combs, I want a position, or did they come to you, or was coaching ever in the back of your mind that, I want to do this?
Not really. It wasn't really in the back of my mind at first, but Bob Grillo approached me last year and asked me to help him coach the sixth grade boys, and so I helped them out last year, and then at the end of the year, Rod Bentley came to me and asked me, if I'd be interested in helping out with the girls program, and that's how I got involved.
Yeah, Taylor, it's funny. Rod, I think Coach Bentley's done a really good job here, really sort of, really breathing some enthusiasm into this program, I think, top to bottom. And it's great for me, obviously. It's rewarding to see guys I coach get into coaching a little bit and help out. But with the girls, I mean, I guess tell us a little bit, because this week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about boys junior high and girls junior high. Tell us a little bit about just how the girls junior high programs this year in terms of, win-loss records and maybe who stands out, how the programs are doing for you guys.
We've had a really good year at the junior high level right now. The eighth grade is 9-0 right now, and seventh grade is 8-1. We have about 7 games left in the year. The seventh grade class, there's a lot of good players. I mean, they have 12 girls that can really know basketball, and it's a really deep class. And, they've played together for a lot of years. They've only had one game that was even halfway close, and that was a game they ended up losing, and that was to Alexander. But, it was one of those games where things just didn't bounce right for them, and they just kind of ran out of time at the end to catch up, and take the lead. And that's actually who we play this evening at Alexander. So I'm sure they're going to come out, hungry to, come out there and play against Alexander again. But the eighth grade, we've won all of our games, pretty handedly. Except for the first game of the year, we played at Southeastern, and we only won by 1 point. That was our closest game, and every other game, it's probably been, 15, 20 points here or there. And, with the seventh grade, it's been, they've won by 40, most games other than that Alexander game.
Now, talk a little bit about, just briefly, with Coach Bentley, I'm sure he's given you some you and Coach Ruckle, some direction on the program and everything. What are some of the things that you guys try to do to just as a program thing? Obviously you're teaching fundamentals, things like that. Is there anything specifically beyond that that kind of unique to our girls program that we're trying to do down there? Or is it more just, hey, let's really teach these kids the right way to play?
I think that Coach Bentley, the time that I've spent around him, I spent a little bit of time around him this summer as he was coaching the varsity girls, and he's just really working hard. He's a really hard worker, and I think that the girls program is getting to the point where, they're going to have success every year like the boys program, and I think it's going to happen because, Rod's just really put in the time with these girls, and that's kind of what he's instilled upon Josh and I, is just putting in the work and really just the small things and the fundamentals and attention to detail and those little things and just building skills. That way when they get to, high school level, that they're ready to play and they're ready to go and they don't have to teach as much. And I think that's what Josh and I have been able to do this year. And that's what we've really focused on, is just the little tiny details and really just continuously working hard. And I think that it's really going to pay off. And I know that varsity girl this year. You know, haven't started off extremely, you know, strong the way they wanted to, but, you know, they have a lot of juniors on this team, and they're really, you know, I think they, the past several games, they've shown a lot of improvement. And, you know, next year, you know, when the eighth grade class gets up there, you know, to go along with that class, I think they're going to have a really good year next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They've played a tough schedule, and they've started to play well here of late. Like you say, they got a lot of underclassmen. Now, I know Rod has said to me on several occasions how pleased he is with you guys, doing a great job down there. And before we let you go, now tell us real quick, tournament-wise, now you guys go to Wellston, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so 7th and 8th grade girls will play their tournament, and we don't know any details probably quite yet on that, do we? I mean, we'll probably get brackets for that maybe in the next week or so.
Yeah, I haven't found out from Walt Whelan yet. He's supposed to bring out with some week, I think, about that.
Okay.
Well, Taylor, we appreciate you dropping by. Just quickly, I haven't had the chance to see you on the bench. Do you consider yourself to be a... from a personality standpoint, do you consider yourself to be kind of a Matt Combs kind of coach on the sideline?
Let's hope not.
Are you?
Well,
more...
you know, I try to be, you know, I try to have, you know, control my temper at times. But, you know, the girls, the first time they ever met me, they go, "Do you ever yell?" And I try not to yell them too much. But, you know, I did get warned last game, sit down on the bench. So I guess, you know, a little bit of Combs rubbed off on me.
Yes, hopefully very little.
I'd say you learn from the best, because, and like it, 6 years ago does not seem that long, but I my memory serves them right. You can confirm this. I think that Coach over here ripped you a new one at least once or twice.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone on that team that got away unscathed. I mean,
no.
Yeah. So, hey, Taylor, we appreciate your time. Good luck to you, and good luck to the Lady Vikes, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Taylor. See you.
Bye.
Taylor Reed, the Benton County Vikings 8th grade girls coach. Always good to talk to him. I know we want to get through Coach Dustin Guthrie, another one of your former players. I see a trend here.
Yeah, well, no, you know, Dustin's and Frank do a great job for me. I mean, I can say that from firsthand experience. They've done a great job with our junior high programs over the years, getting kids ready, making them do it the right way, having discipline, all those things. Our eighth grade right now, I believe, is 5-4, if I'm not mistaken. And our seventh grade, I believe, 7-2. Now, they are going to play their tournament at Logan. So the boys, and it's a good tournament because I know Jackson's in it. Jackson's got two really loaded junior high teams. I think they've only lost one game combined between the two. Logan's got a team I think's undefeated. I can't remember if it's 8th or 7th. So, and I'm trying to think who else is in that tournament. There's a few teams there in that tournament. It's a good tournament. So our boys will be going to Logan, and we'll have those brackets probably in the next week or so. So, you know, maybe on one of the shows, if we think about it, Carl, we'll kind of just say, hey, the boys will be playing on this date, and maybe get some dates out there. But well, our school website does a good job updating that stuff, too. So, no, I'm pleased with where our junior high programs are. I think we've got we have good numbers on the freshman team. Our freshman team has struggled in terms of wins and losses, but you've got 13 kids there. So, you know, it's always nice to have the numbers out because some of these kids will be late bloomers. They'll develop. You know, this isn't one of Coach Karp's best JV teams, but yet
it's a very fluid situation when you coach freshmen and JV. You got
always
tons
change.
Of kids. Everything's changing.
Or you're
playing.
Yeah, you get a kid with a couple quarters here, a couple. Yeah, right. You know, so Coach Karp and Nolan Yates have both done a nice job. Pup Terry helps. You know, Nolan. They've done a nice job with the freshmen and JV. And you know, it's good to. It's, you know, the program's in good shape, and that's what we want ultimately, is just to have a good program from top to bottom.
Before we get into the preview of the next game, just curious to that junior high level. With Frank and Dustin, obviously, both do a great job. You can't say that enough. They both got a lot. You know, Frank's got a lot of experience coaching. Dustin, obviously, a standout player. And I know he was kind of apprehensive at first when he first started doing it. And I talked to him like a year ago, and he's like, I love it. I really enjoy it. Do you sit down with the middle school, whether it's the Guthries or, you know, do you sit down with them? Do you give them, here's what I expect, here's what I want?
Right.
How does that work?
Well, we have in the past. I mean, you got to think, these guys have been doing it for a while now, you know. And so when they first started doing it again, Frank came back and Dustin, you know, I kind of gave them a couple packets. Here's what we run drill wise. Here's kind of what I like to see. I'm not a believer in the junior high has to run the same exact offense and do the same exact. I just don't buy that. I think there are certain fundamentals that need to be taught. Whether it's, you know, how you defend certain things or and I think more importantly, your philosophies, how you talk to your coaches, how you treat each other. You know, you'll see Frank, you know, he's a believer and they wear ties to games and stuff. And that's fine. You know, he's trying to build discipline. Those are the things that are more important to me as a varsity coach, because the basketball stuff, that'll change from years to years, how you
right.
how you do certain things. But what doesn't change is acting the right way and handling yourself the right way. And I think that's where Frank and Dustin, you know, Frank and Dustin aren't two guys that junior high kids are probably real quick to talk back to. You know what I mean?
So I would hope not.
So I think they have a good job with discipline and they do it the right way.
Well, it's interesting. And I know, you know, offenses come and go. It's just mainly fundamentals.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be teaching help side defense to a varsity
right, there's
level
basic
kid.
Fundamentals, and then there's attitude. You know, again, you don't want to have attitudes get in the way of even being able to get into that stuff. So I think by the time kids get to us, the job that Frank and Dustin do, the job that Nolan and Carp do, by the time they get to me, they understand what's expected of them from that standpoint at least. You know?
Well, we got to get back to TBC play. You got two critical TBC Ohio games coming up in the next week as you hit the road tomorrow night on January the 24th. And head up to Nelsonville to take on Coach Klein's Buckeyes. Had a good win early. It was your first TBC league game of the year earlier in the season back in December, as you guys took care of them 69-48. Did much change? I mean, how do you prepare for?
Well,
I mean,
you got to figure everyone's gotten better. I mean, they're 8-6 right now, so you're going on the road to a team that's got a winning record. They've had success at home this year. They've played well at home. You know, and they've got athletes, the Edwards kid, the Davis kid's a good player, and they've got a Boyer kid, if I'm saying that correctly. He's a nice player. They've got some pieces, and they've had some games where they've really scored some points. So we're going to have to – I mean, they played Alexander to a six-point game the other night, you know, we just saw what Alexander's capable of. So, they did that without Hunter Edwards, who's one of their best two players. So, you know, Nelsonville's capable, and we've got to go to there. So, I don't think we're in a position right now where we need to be overlooking anybody. I'll promise you that. So,
no.
You know, I think our kids will be ready to play and hopefully go over there and get back on the right track. I mean, but it's never an easy place to play. Coach Klein's excellent at what he does, and we're going to have to be ready.
Well, and then coming off, like you said, that loss, you can't take anything for granted. If I know this group of kids, the Vinton County kids, they're going to come in with their ears pinned back.
They want to play again, I'm sure. You know, the worst thing to do after you lose is to have to sit around and think about it. So I know they're looking forward to getting the uniform on again and going to play. And then, but it's a tough week. Like you say, got to go on the road tomorrow. And then, of course, got Athens coming in here on Friday.
Athens, a triple header? Is that
Yeah. Okay. And tomorrow night's a triple header. I'm glad you said that because they did not have a freshman team the first time we played.
Right. That's okay.
But now I guess they have a very small group of freshmen. They said 5 or 6 kids, and they're trying to play freshman games. So we are going to play at 5 o'clock tomorrow night. Excuse me.
Okay.
5 o'clock tomorrow night. We're going to play freshmen. It'll be a triple header, and same on Friday. So big week for us. And as bad as we felt Saturday morning, you know, we could feel equally as good next Saturday if we come and play well this week. So hopefully that's what we'll do.
Well, good. Hopefully the kids get back on the winning track.
Yeah.
Because you're really not a lot of fun after a loss.
Well, it's never fun. It's never fun after that. But you know, like I said, it's a process, and I enjoy it either way. I enjoy the process with this group of kids because they're great kids to coach. And, you know, so I wouldn't trade it for the world. I found out the hard way what tough it really is, and this is tough, but this isn't life changing.
I mean,
this is you know, we're trying to help some kids get through this, and I think these kids will bounce back.
Quickly before we get out of here, and I know you got to go. Given the off season, the cancer, the illness, do you? I mean, I know you still are competitive as all get out,
right?
Do you feel differently in putting things into perspective, i.e.,
yeah, I mean,
prior to going through what you went through?
When you sit and think about it, yes. I mean, I was still pretty well down in the dumps Friday night. I'm still nervous before games, and I'm still. But when you have a chance to think about it, you remind yourself, hey, look, you know, this is
the worst.
Right. I mean, right. So yeah, but we're all human. I mean, I'm still in the moment. I want to win, and I want us to do well. And the losses aren't any easier to take. I just think once you think about it, you can put things in perspective a little bit better. But no, I mean, it's still no fun what happened to us Friday.
Well, the only way we can do is move on, put it behind us, get better. Right. We'll talk to you next week, Coach. Best of luck to you and the kids. And thank all the listeners and McDonald's, our sponsor, for presenting this podcast. We'll talk to you next time on the Viking Round Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking.